The U.S. dollar is really strong right now.
The dollar may be on track for its best year ever.
Of course, the U.S. dollar has been seeing strength compared to other currencies this year.
Although everybody is a dollar bull.
Lately, the dollar has been dramatically increasing in value compared to other currencies. Take the British pound. Traditionally, the pound has always been stronger than the dollar, but now their value is almost equal. The same thing is happening with a bunch of other currencies. The dollar is way stronger now against the Japanese yen, the Chinese yuan, and the euro. The dollar is blowing other currencies out of the water. But why does that matter? For the U.S., a strong dollar might sound like good news, and in many ways it is. But it can also create big problems, especially for other countries. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Thursday, September 29th. Coming up on the show, the pros and cons of a strong U.S. dollar.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Our colleague Julia Verlaine writes about currency markets. So I have this bowl of currency here that I have collected over the years. If I were to pull some out and show you some of these currencies, do you think that you'd be able to name them?
I could. Oh, is that a Japanese yen?
It is. Let's see. This is a British pound, and look at that
British
woman.
British pound. Queen Elizabeth is on it. £5, £5, as they say.
Comparing currencies is something Julia's been doing for a long time.
I'm half Belgian, and I remember my grandfather gave me 100 Belgian francs, and I didn't realize what exchange rates were at the time, and I thought he gave me $100. Uh-huh. I was so over the moon. And then my father said, no, that's worth about $3.
Uh-huh, I see. So you had like a very early lesson in the power of the value of currencies.
I did.
Comparing currencies is essentially what gives them their value. For the past few months, Julia has been reporting on the dollar's growth against other currencies around the world.
And if you kind of want to run through some numbers, like year-to-date, pound is down over 20%. Like the Japanese yen has lost over 25% against the dollar. And the euro is down around 15%.
Mm-hmm. So it's all in relation to other currencies.
Currencies are always relative.
What makes a currency perform well?
Basically, a strong currency requires political stability and good economic forecast. And it's basically people's perception of that country, and it's reflected in the currency.
So the value of a currency really is very forward-looking.
It is.
If a currency is getting weaker, it means people don't think that that economy is going to be doing well. And if it's getting stronger, they think it will be doing well.
It's basically the so-called market, okay, or we're going to say investors' perception of a country's outlook.
So the fact that the dollar, the U.S. dollar, is getting so strong right now, is that essentially a sign that people have faith in the U.S. economy?
Yes, there's this idea out there of, they call it U.S. exceptionalism, in the sense that our economy is going to, even though things feel very rocky here, the idea is that compared to the rest of the world, the economic growth is going to be better, or if there's a recession, it's going to not be as bad as it could be in Europe, for instance, or in the U.K.,
One reason people have faith in the U.S. economy is because the Federal Reserve is going so aggressively after inflation. Inflation is bad for currencies because the currency literally becomes less valuable. You can't buy as much stuff with it.
So the Federal Reserve has been hiking rates, and it's been doing them in 3/4 percentage point kind of increments. That bolsters a currency and it sends a very serious signal that we're going to take inflation and get it under control. So that makes people have faith in your currency. It's not going to be eroded by inflation.
It's not just that the U.S. economy is in decent shape. It also comes back again to comparisons, to relativity. The U.S. economy appears to be in a relatively better position than other countries. For instance, after years of growth, China is now seeing a slowdown because of a collapse in its real estate market. In Europe, economies are struggling because of a rise in gas and oil prices caused by the war in Ukraine.
All of that has created this moment where the U.S. relatively is one of the better places to invest and store your money. At the same time, you have the stock market that's taking a very serious hit. And something that happens is that when investors are very concerned about losing money, they cash out and they hold dollars. There's also this idea that it's a safe haven asset and people go into it. So the dollar is benefiting from this. So the economic narrative in the U.S. is better than the rest of the world. The central bank here is tackling inflation faster than anybody else. And at the same time, you have just a general kind of jittery market, which means people are fleeing to dollars as a safe haven.
For U.S. consumers, a strong dollar has one obvious benefit.
You're going to be able to travel to Europe and you're going to get a cup of coffee and it's going to be cheaper. Or if you go to, let's just say you go to the UK, same thing. All of a sudden, 20% cheaper for you to have a meal over there. You might go to a hotel that would have been out of your price range, but now all of a sudden it is. So it's better for your pocketbook in terms of travel.
For Americans traveling abroad right now, it's a little bit like that scene from the 2004 movie Eurotrip, which was about a group of recent grads who went to Europe and found themselves basically out of money.
$1.83 American. What are we going to get with that?
In the next shot, the travelers are living large in a fancy hotel, being served by butlers. All for $1.83.
Gotta love that exchange rate.
The strong dollar isn't just a benefit for Americans traveling abroad, though. It also makes foreign imports cheaper. If you're a business that gets a lot of your products overseas, your inventory could suddenly cost a lot less. But a strong dollar isn't all good for America. There are actually some pretty serious downsides. For instance, it means that things made in America are now a lot more expensive for customers overseas.
So if we take Microsoft, for example, they sell software and different goods and services to Europe. If all of a sudden Microsoft's suite becomes 20% more costly, maybe less people are going to buy it. So they see their sales abroad go down.
So if people overseas aren't able to afford U.S. companies' products, then those U.S. companies' sales will fall, which means that a strong dollar could come back to bite U.S. businesses.
Yes, because it hurts their revenue, and then that means the earnings are revised down, and that means the stocks don't do as well, and people have a negative earnings outlook, and it doesn't look good for our economy, right?
So it sounds like a strong U.S. dollar could be a good thing, but it actually might have a bite back effect on businesses and the economy if it means lost sales.
Exactly. That's the feedback loop.
And as the dollar gets stronger, that feedback loop can get even worse. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Workday. Get the whole band together with Workday and pair finance and HR on one platform for an epic performance. With Workday AI at the core, you'll make confident decisions faster than ever. And you'll drive flawless business and finance operations with an agile platform that constantly evolves to future-proof your organization. Be a finance and HR rockstar with Workday. Visit Workday.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Canva. It's time to ditch your old presentation programs at work and try Canva Presentations instead. It'll help you create stunning slides in no time. No design experience needed. Just start with one of the designer-made templates or generate something in seconds with AI. Then polish it up and get ready to wow your audience. It's that easy. Nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com. Design for work. Tap the banner to learn more.
While a strong dollar is a mixed blessing for the U.S., it's generally a bad thing for other countries. When businesses in other countries buy and sell things in international markets, the transactions are often done in U.S. dollars.
It's the currency that the rest of the world trades in. So let's just say I'm an emerging market and I want to do business with another emerging market. I'm going to trade in dollars. I'm not going to trade in my two own currencies because there can be a perception that there's maybe less stability or it's just harder to exchange my currency for another. So the dollar is really what the world trades in, whether it's energy, commodities, goods and services.
For example, let's say South Korea wants to trade with Brazil. They would do that in dollars.
One of Korea's biggest imports, right, is going to be oil. So all of a sudden, if the dollar is much stronger, the price for your oil is also a lot higher.
So if the dollar is stronger and I'm South Korea converting my currency into U.S. dollars, that means that I have to spend more of my own currency in order to get those dollars.
Precisely. And that's why the fact that we have an energy crisis is compounding that, because energy prices are already going up. But then tack on the fact that most energy is priced in dollars for emerging market economies, they now have a double whammy to pay a lot more for energy.
Because the currency is going up and because the price of oil has gone up.
Yes.
A strong dollar doesn't just make things like oil more expensive. It also makes it more expensive for countries to pay back some debt. In the same way that many international goods are priced in U.S. dollars, some debt is too. Meaning when a country takes out a big loan, it often has to pay it back in U.S. dollars.
Now, all of a sudden, if you have to pay back debt in dollars and your currency's weaker, servicing your debt has become a lot more expensive. Think about it if you had a mortgage and instead of just paying it in dollars every month, you had some currency that moved around. So your payment is no longer kind of locked in and fixed.
One example of a country being hurt by this is Sri Lanka. In July, we made an episode about how the economy there is collapsing. The country imports a lot of its food and energy, both of which became very expensive this year. And then, on top of all that, the government is also struggling to pay off billions of dollars in debt.
So everyone's been looking at Sri Lanka at the moment because basically they're kind of the warning signal of what happens when you have high debt denominated in dollars and you have to basically import a lot of food and energy. And that is spurring a lot of inflation. So you kind of have this really bad mixture there where they have a lot of debt.
So Sri Lanka's being hit on all sides here. Their debt is more expensive because it's priced in dollars and dollars are going up in value. They have to buy oil and other things in dollars, and that's going up. So everything's just going up for them, and they can't afford to keep paying for stuff.
They're the poster child right now of what can happen to an economy when you have a really strong dollar, and then you have soaring inflation already at home.
Is there anything that the U.S. or other countries could do to fight back against a strong dollar?
You can't. The global currency market is about $6 trillion a day changes hands. So to go in and to try to move your own currency as a central bank, you would deplete your reserves. It's a very hard market to move and control. So the only way would be to actively have to get a bunch of countries on the same page with the U.S. and agree to somehow devalue the dollar. You can't just go in and do it yourself. It's a very free-flowing market, and it's too big.
So earlier we talked about the fact that one reason the dollar is strong is because of how aggressively the Federal Reserve is trying to control inflation. Is there an argument then that the Fed should consider changing tactics to help the global economy?
That is a political question. The Fed is supposed to follow one mandate only, which is price stability for the U.S. That's their mandate.
But if the dollar keeps getting stronger and other countries keep feeling the pain, this is where that feedback loop can get worse and come back to hurt the U.S. too.
If the dollar gets so strong that it throws your trading partners into a recession, then that eventually hits at home as well, because those trading partners are not going to buy as many goods and services from us. So the idea is if the rest of the world slows down, we eventually slow down too. So you don't want your currency to be the cause of that, and you don't want to be your currency to be the cause of some major trade imbalances.
So what do you see happening in the near future? Does the dollar just keep getting stronger?
There are two views on this one. You have some people that have been calling a top now. They said, that's it. The market moves that we saw on Friday and on Monday were so extreme that you're going to start attracting investors to buy other currencies because they think that they've reached a low and that they'll bounce back. And the other take is I speak to some people who say, no way, it's not until this energy crisis is resolved in Europe that you can find any stability. And until those things and that uncertainty goes away, we stay in the same place where the dollar is strong.
So the last question that I have to ask you is to go back to my currency bowl here and ask, if you were able to choose any currency here, and should point out there are no U.S. dollars, which currency would you want to take right now?
I would like to take the pound.
The pound? Really?
Yes.
Why?
I think in the long term, I would take a gamble that they can get back on their feet. And I'd want to buy their currency at the low. So I'll take the pound.
That's all for today, Thursday, September 29th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Our theme music is by So Wiley. Additional music this week from Katherine Anderson, Peter Leonard, Emma Munger, So Wiley, and Blue Dot Sessions. Tomorrow, we'll be back with the second episode in our new special series, How to Build a Metaverse. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.